Defensive free agents. Who should the 49ers re-sign? Who is a priority and who can the team let walk? We always talk quarterbacks. It seems to work its way into every single podcast. Tom Brady leaving the door cracked open. Yeah, I think we better talk about Tom Brady. And Deebo Samuel's comments about his current and future quarterback. All coming up on today's podcast right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you at BD Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. This episode of Locked On 49ers brought to you by GetUpside. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code Touchdown 5 cents per gallon or more cash back on your first tank. All right. We're going to get to the defensive free agents, as we did with the offensive side on Tuesday's podcast. Go back and check that one out if you haven't heard it. We're going to go through all the 49ers free agents. Who are the priorities? Who can they let go? How's this going to look on the defensive side of the ball? With a ton of free agents, the 49ers have to figure out through the 2022 offseason. But Tom Brady, a Hall of Fame quarterback, the 49ers turned him down after a long playoff run a couple of years ago. Niners on another long playoff run this year. They did not win the title that they hoped they would get. It's getting pretty clear that Jimmy Garoppolo's on the trade block. Where will he end up? I have no idea. But what about these comments? And a lot of folks are making a lot of noise about the comments that Tom Brady made on his Let's Go podcast. And he said he basically didn't quite close the door. He says that's how he feels right now. He doesn't know how he's going to feel in the future. Right now, he does not have that passion to pursue playing in the NFL for another season. But he said he doesn't know how he's going to feel in 6 months. Is he going to miss it when training camps start up? Croc, could Tom Brady be the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers in 2022? I feel like that idea is picking up steam. And I think it's part of it is just because of how famous and how great Tom Brady has been. Growing up in San Mateo, being a 49ers fan as a kid, wearing a Joe Montana 16 jersey at Halloween like young Brian Peacock did, growing up in California as well. Any legs to this one, Croc? What do you think?
Obviously, anytime a player kind of leaves the door open a little bit, there is room for him to come back. We've seen it with several guys before. I remember Deion Sanders. I remember when he retired. It's like, oh my God, Deion Sanders retired. The next thing I know, he's back dancing into the end zone as a Baltimore Raven. So, you know, we've seen it before where maybe a guy just needs a little bit of a reset and some time away. Now, it is different circumstances with Tom Brady being like 44 years old, maybe 45 next year. So, I mean, it's crazy just the fact that he's played this long, but If there is an opportunity for anyone to be successful at this age, it's him. He prepares his just self-discipline that he has, the way that he trains his body, his mind, it's always on point. So could it be a 49er? I know we'll get a little bit more in depth on that, but I could definitely see him coming back to football.
He's a competitive guy. And we saw what it was like for Jordan, super competitive guy, to see how his career went and some really unexpected turns. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Tom Brady in the summertime got that itch again and decided he wanted to play one more time. And if he had the opportunity to play for his childhood team, the San Francisco 49ers, I could see him wanting to do that. But from the 49ers perspective, does it make sense at all? Especially, they already know what their plan is, right? So they can't go into a plan of an offseason thinking we're going to get Tom Brady. It would have to be a situation where they're sitting there in July. Tom Brady all of a sudden says, let's give him a call. Hey, Kyle, I kind of feel like I want to play again, right? And then you'd have to work out whatever compensation with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's on the reserve retired list, right? Does he just get cut from that list and he's a free agent? Do you have to send compensation to the Bucs? Would he just come back and play for the Bucs instead if they can't figure out their quarterback situation? Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy there. Who knows? So there's a lot of hurdles still, but it seems a heck of a lot more plausible than the idea that Aaron Rodgers would be playing for the 49ers. Right. And maybe if Kyle Shanahan gets into July, gets into training camp, doesn't love what he's seen on the progression side from Trey Lance, even if he likes Trey Lance, maybe he thinks, not ready to win quite yet with Trey Lance, and he wants to win now. We know Kyle Shanahan is a win now coach. Would he flirt with Tom Brady in that scenario and say, all right, let's have Trey sit one more year on the bench. Let's go see what we can do season.
I definitely could see him doing that. I could see him doing that. You know, he, again, we've talked ad nauseum of just how he kind of lacks patience, especially for, really, I wanted to say, you know, rookies, but I think any player, like, he wants guys to be ready to go right now. I remember when he talked about Brandon Ayuk, right? And this year, Brandon Ayuk kind of went through a rough stretch to start the season, and Kyle Shanahan came out to the media and was like, well, really, the only reason why he played last year is because I didn't have anyone else. I didn't think he was ready last year. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, dude, he had a solid rookie year. People thought he played well. And you're saying, like, no, he wasn't ready to do that. So I don't know if sometimes he kind of overthinks it a little bit from that standpoint. But what is your plan? And at some point, you kind of have to stick with it. It sounds like the plan last season was, hey, let our rookie sit, play Jimmy Garoppolo. We can win with him. All right, you did. Now, you got to move on, because at some point, you have to let your rookie go through his ups and downs. You have to let him go through his lumps, and you have to start the process of development. I know a lot of people reference Josh Allen in the sense of his kind of trajectory, how it started, where he's at now. Buffalo was coming off of a playoff appearance. In 2017, they went to the playoffs. Now, I think they had to play with like Nathan Peterman and Tyrod Taylor. Not ideal, but they made the playoffs. And then they draft Josh Allen, and they win 6 games. They missed the playoffs, right? Like, there is that part of, regardless, we have to play our young guy, and we have to get him ready for the future. And they played him. He went through his ups and downs. He was a 52% completion percentage type guy. I mean, he was all over the place. I talked about it earlier. I watched his fourth start before Trey Lance's second start just to see, man, what might it look like? And it was a disaster. It was a disaster. It looked like some of the worst quarterbacking I've ever seen. But, okay, not ideal. I saw somebody tweet that. Not ideal. But let him play through it. Let him play through it. And they let him play through it. He had his lumps his rookie year. The second year, still not great. But, all right, play through it. Continue to improve. Continue to progress. They went to the playoffs. That was good. Blew a 16-0 lead to Deshaun Watson and the Texans. And then the next 2 years, he's a superstar, a mega star. And I'm not saying that's what Trey Lance is going to be, but you have to, at the very least, give it that opportunity for him to play through those things and learn and understand and adjust, as opposed to just being like, OTAs, it was whatever, training camp is whatever, maybe I'll listen if Tom Brady calls. I feel like you can't do that. At some point, the plan has to come into play.
I agree. You got to stay the course. There's a level of development that a player needs on the field. You're never going to get Trey Lance, young Trey Lance with his level of experience. He's never going to all of a sudden be five-year veteran Trey Lance if he doesn't have those 5 years to play, right, and figure those things out. So we'll see how that goes. I don't envision it at all. Look, I talked about it yesterday. 0% chance. It is not happening with Aaron Rodgers coming to San Francisco and play for the 49ers at least anytime soon. Tom Brady, extremely unlikely.
You got to listen though, right?
What possible? There's that one little tiny sliver of a chance where that could even maybe happen, but still, no, it's not going to happen. Very, very unlikely that thing happens, but we'll see. You know, maybe the Bucks salary cap reasons, post June 1st, maybe they cut him. So he's a complete free agent in the 49ers. Maybe Trey Lance gets hurt. I mean, if Trey Lance breaks his leg, the first day of training camp, who you calling? You're calling, right? Yeah, knock on wood. You're calling Tom Brady in that case. So maybe, you know, it's not impossible. Guys get hurt. So we'll see what happens. But right now, it's the Trey plan. You got to stay on that path and develop your young quarterback. By the way, when Croc says not ideal, he means it's trash. That's what Croc means. Yeah. It's not ideal, as pointed out by one of our listeners on Twitter. All right, let's break really quick. I want to dive into one more thing about the quarterbacks, and it ties into this preparation. That's a huge part of Tom Brady's success. Maniacal, like the dude's a stone cold killer, right? Does Trey Lance have that? Did he need this year behind Jimmy G to learn that from Jimmy, who learned it from Trey? See how this all works together, Croc? And did Deebo Samuel give us a glimpse into the dynamic there and where Trey Lance might have been and where he needs to be at the level of development that Kyle Shanahan wants? We'll get to that next. And defensive free agents for the 49ers in 2022, how should they treat them? Who's the priority? Who might walk from the 2021 roster coming up next. But 49ers fans, want to let you know about an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about, GetUpside. Our listeners are earning cash back every gallon of gas every time they fill up, and it's super easy. You can too. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use promo code Touchdown for 25 cents per gallon or more cash back on your very first fill up. And that cash back continues to come. Every time you get gas, you can get cash back on every single gallon of gas. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. And again, promo code Touchdown for 25 cents or more per gallon. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 and $300 a year cash back, and there's no catch. It's super easy. You just get gas, and that cash goes right back into your account. You can pull money out into your bank account from your GetUpside account whenever you want. You can buy a put it in your PayPal account. You can buy an e-gift card, Amazon card, you name it. So just download the free GetUpside app. Use promo code Touchdown to get 25 cents per gallon or more cash back on your first tank. That's promo code Touchdown with the GetUpside app. By the way, it's Super Week brought to you by GetUpside, and there's no better place to get coverage of the big game than the Locked On NFL podcast. Locked On Bengals and Locked On Rams hosts are in Los Angeles with the Locked On NFL crew covering the big game all week long. Croc, Debo Samuel at Radio Row talking with Jim Rome, and Jim Rome got a nice little nugget out of it. First, he asked Debo about his quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. What makes Jimmy special? Why does everybody in the locker room love Jimmy Garoppolo? And talked about all the things that, you know, maybe some media, some fans don't see or don't care about because they're just looking at, you know, they're analyzing things differently than a player is. You
know, bro, we see the games.
Like, yeah,
we hear you, Debo. But
there's a different
we've
level.
We've been watching him for five years almost now. Like, I mean, I hear you, Debo, but you know.
But when asked about Trey Lance, that was the interesting part of this interview, is that Debo's comments about Trey Lance were, and I think some people would probably take them as maybe a disrespectful way, or even that maybe Trey Lance didn't work as hard as he needed to as a rookie. But I think it's something to it. You talked about Ayuk. I think the year learning for Trey Lance, and Debo talked about this, wasn't even so much as, okay, learning the playbook, learning mechanics, learning the offense, right? Making plays, throwing the ball. It was learning how to be maniacal when you work, what it takes to make it and be great in the NFL. And if he takes that from Jimmy Garoppolo, who probably took a lot of that from Tom Brady. I mean, imagine Tom Brady's work ethic and how bad he wants it. And all the great things, all the things that make Tom Brady great, imagine giving him Trey Lance's arm and athleticism on top of it, right? So that's where you dare to dream. And Debo said Trey Lance can be a superstar, but he said it was important for him to learn this year behind Jimmy Garoppolo what it takes, how much work it takes. Did you take that as a slight for the kind of work that Trey Lance as a rookie was putting in? Or did you take it as more of a compliment to Jimmy G and that any rookie in the league needs to learn that kind of thing, especially if you're going to be a starting quarterback?
I can't speak for all rookies, but from what I've seen, you have to learn how to be a pro, right? And that's essentially what it comes down to. You know, you can, you know, feel like you got certain things down and you did, you know, X, Y, Z in college and you prepared. And when you get to the NFL, now you have grown men counting on you. It's like a different level of preparation that you have to have. And I think getting into the NFL and learning how to practice, right? Debo said that, like, oh, you know, I think it was good for him learning how to practice, like those type of things. Like, yeah, you have to understand how to practice at the professional level, which could be different, or just learn how to be a scout team quarterback, which we've heard that from Fred Warner, Jimmy Ward, on some of the things, learning how to give them looks. You know, those are things that Trey Lance has had to try to figure out on the fly. And, you know, they kind of touched on in him talking about how, you know, later he learned to just let it rip, you know, regardless of what it was going to look like after he throws the ball. So, you know, my time in the NFL, it was a wake-up call for me with understand, like, damn, this is different. And, you know, I played college football. I was an all-conference corner. I played well. I played in the Arena League. I did awesome my rookie year. That's what got me to the NFL. And even then, getting to the NFL, the preparation was just on a totally different level. And not just for somebody like me coming from a different league. I mean, I saw it from Geno Smith and kind of what, you know, he was going through as a rookie and what it looked like. And I told you before we got on, it looked like stress. Like, and it was different for Geno.
Not ideal.
Not ideal. Mark Sanchez, they ended up putting him on IR. So now Geno gets all the reps. And there were some really weird moments, really weird, right? Like, I remember I don't even remember what I was supposed to be doing. I think I was supposed to be like cover four or something. I played cover two. I have no idea why, but I played cover two. I was supposed to be playing cover four. I let my guy just run. Geno throws the ball to me. There's no receiver within 20 yards of me, but he just throws the ball to me. And I'm like, okay, like, I'll take it. But, you know, obviously I busted the coverage. But that just shows we're both all messed up. Me, who's a rookie, and Geno Smith, who was in, like, his first training camp. So, you know, there are just a lot of different things that are going through your head. And then the pressure of being a high draft pick, not just for Trey Lance, but even the second round pick for Geno Smith and the expectations of him being out there in New York and just – going through that and then understanding and then taking a step back and then learning how to practice, learning your teammates. You know, this is not your locker room. This is Jimmy Garoppolo's locker room. It's not Geno Smith's locker room. This is Mark Sanchez's locker room. Mark Sanchez went to two AFC championships with these guys, you know? So it's difficult, but you got to learn that process. And it's not something that happens at the snap of a finger, something that you learn along the way. And hopefully Trey Lance did, you know, understand. He seems like a sharp kid that probably this offseason gets to take a step back and say, oh, okay, I understand.
All right, and then let's get to work.
Move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to clarify one thing before we move on to defensive free agents. When Geno Smith threw that ball, you dropped it, right? Because DBs can't catch.
First of all, I have the golden hands. I had 11 interceptions in one season in the Arena Football League. So, you know, you ain't talking about me. I got hands.
Did you house it? Do they allow you to house it in practice?
Yeah. I mean, you jog. I mean, it was like, it wasn't a move the drill position. I remember where we were. I was on the left side at corner. And I couldn't even tell you what I was doing. I was wrong. Whatever I was doing, I was hella wrong. But he was even more wrong.
I love it. All right, let's talk defense. Free agents for the 49ers. In 2022, I want to start. We're going to take this in order of who had the biggest paychecks in 2021 that are free agents. And that starts with cornerback Jason Verrett. And it's somewhat similar, but even to, I think, a more severe degree than what we talked about on the offensive side with Raheem Mostert, guy who missed most of the season with an injury. But the injury toll on Jason Verrett, at a certain point, I almost don't want the guy to come back. Like, I want to be able to walk when he's a grandfather, right? Like, he's had some serious injuries in his career. Is it even worth it to keep playing? But if he does want to keep playing, like, basically, it's like, okay, similarly to when the 49ers brought him in originally. All right, well, basically, league minimum is all we can afford to pay you because you're broken down and you probably won't make it back even. But if you want to give it a shot, let's go. You got to open the door to him if he wants to try, right?
Yeah, you have to. And that's what it's kind of been even after the first time he came back, right? With the ankle, and then they were like hamstring, whatever it was, came back on the cheap, didn't have a terrific year. Then, you know, obviously they brought him back this year, and hell, bring him back again. And, you know, at the very least, you need the depth. You need that veteran presence, and maybe you get good play out of him. I mean, obviously, I don't think you're expecting it, which the first year that they brought him back, I don't know how much they were expecting, but it was like, well, we have Richard Sherman. We have Akella Witherspoon. We have Emmanuel Mosley. Whatever we get from Jason Verrett is a plus. He just happened to be the best corner on the roster.
Wait, no, that was the second year, right? Because they brought him back. Didn't he, in the first year, didn't play really at all, and he got on the field for like two plays, and they yanked him back
off. He got hurt. That's what I'm saying. Then they brought him back. But when they brought him back, they weren't expecting – I don't think they were really expecting anything, but they had Sherman, Witherspoon, and Mosley, who all showed that they could be starters. And, you know, and right? Am I getting my years mixed up?
No, I think you had it right. They brought him back for one
year. Yeah.
He logged like two snaps that year. And then it was his second year with the Niners was the year he took off. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, old Jason Verrett's back. This is awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah. you plan for maybe something like that, where maybe he comes in and it's like, well, we got Mosley, we got Amber Thomas, you know, we got whoever else they bring in free agency. But all right, let's go, Verrett. And if you get great Verrett, awesome. Just be prepared.
Maybe you throw some incentives out there for him, that if he does come back and he's that guy and he starts games, he gets a little bit more money. But you really can't offer him anything of base salary at this point. And it's unfortunate for Jason Verrett. And really, part of me just wants him to hang it up and be able to walk when he's older, right? Like, just as a human being, I don't want to see Jason Verrett go through that.
I want him to go out on his own terms, though. I don't want him to go out on the terms of injuries. Like, just get through this year, and then if you want to go off after that, you know, just because he's fought through so much adversity just to continue to get on the field. I want to see him, like, finish a year, hopefully at least give it this one last shot, and then you can walk away. And I think he probably feel better about walking away at that point too.
Yeah, absolutely. And he can even just be a number three guy. He doesn't have to walk in and be a starter, even if he's healthy and playing well, because I think the 49ers probably feel okay, at least, about who they have coming back starting. And do they just say, you know what, we're not going to mess with Jason Verrett anymore and maybe go shopping for a big dollar free agent? Probably not, right? I don't think they have the money. Stephon Gilmore, I've seen that name out there. Do you go there? Do you stick with what you got in-house and keep trying to draft and develop? Because we talked about that yesterday a lot. You got to start saving money somewhere. So you can't just pay everybody at every position group because you're not going to have anything left. DJ Jones is a huge one. I think it's priority number one on the defensive side of the ball. And maybe even priority number one over Lake and Tomlinson on the offensive side of the ball. DJ Jones, in the last year of his contract as a sixth rounder, was making $3.5 million last year. Look, he only played 50% of the 49ers snaps compared to Lakin Tomlinson, who played 100% of the 49ers snaps. So a nose tackle, one technique, as good as he is, you can't go crazy there. But I think with both Lakin Tomlinson and DJ Jones, you should be able to offer something that makes sense before they reach free agency and see if you can get a deal done. They don't want to take that and they want to test the market. You have to be willing to let them test the market and see what they can get. And that could eventually price you out. Do you agree with that's the way to play it? See if you can get a deal that's team friendly enough that still gives them what they deserve and sign them before they hit free agency. Because if the plan is to test the market, I don't know how much money you can spend on a nose tackle.
I mean, oh man, that's tough. Now, here's the thing. Here's where you can make it happen. Is there a scenario where Kinlaw comes back, he's healthy, and you can put him at nose? And if so, then you can continue to play Armstead at three tech and then just have your kind of rotation of guys. And from that standpoint, it's like, all right, we can let him walk in that scenario. But outside of that, if you don't feel like Kinlaw can be a nose, then I think you gotta keep him around. Now,
it's a big question.
He should be
good enough to do that. You drafted this guy in the first round, but I'm not confident that Kinlaw is going to come in this year and be better than DJ Jones, right? And he's got a first round salary. Kinlaw isn't necessarily cheap. Do you say, okay, well, how about this then? We're more sure about DJ Jones as a player than Kinlaw. What if you dangle Javon Kinlaw in trade and then pay Jones instead?
I don't know, because most of Kinlaw's contract is probably paid to him already. His so, you know, now his yearly salary is probably not very expensive, I think, from a money standpoint, because, again, you know, it is going to be tight. You do got to start to figure out what you're going to do with Deebo Samuel, Bosa, and those guys. So, you know, you got to think kind of long term with guys that are on rookie salary still.
Looking at Javon Kinlaw's contract, he'll be going into year three of his deal next year. If the 49ers were to, is a $2 million base salary, 2.2 of his prorated bonus, so it's a $4.2 million cap hit. If you were to trade him, you would take a very slight cap hit, but most of Yeah, so the dead money would be almost exactly what his cap number is. So the dead money, you wouldn't save any money, basically, by trading Javon Kinlaw this year. So essentially, you're not gaining anything. So Kinlaw stays, and DJ Jones goes? Are you confident? Give the job to Javon Kinlaw, Croc?
I just don't know if nose tackle is his thing, but he's big enough. I mean, he's a large human. He's bigger than DJ Jones. I know DJ Jones is kind of wide and squatty.
Yeah, but leverage.
I mean, Kinlaw is he can easily beat 340 pounds without even trying. So, you know, at 6'5", 340, you think he can play nose.
You think he can?
There's different responsibilities between three tech. You know, obviously it has to do with the shade and how you line up, but and some of your, like, you know, responsibilities and what they're asking you to take on, from my understanding. So it would just be, can you do what DJ Jones does?
Yeah, and that might inform the 49ers on how hard they go after DJ Jones. Do they only sign him if it's a really good deal? And if not, they let him walk? It'll be an interesting one. But DJ Jones is a pretty darn good player. And even though he's a part-time player as a nose tackle in the NFL, he's pretty good too. So we'll see what kind of money he demands. I don't think he's going to demand so much money that the 49ers can't bring him back. But you got a first rounder in Kinlaw, pay a free agent in DJ Jones. You got Nick Bosa coming up. You're already paying Arik Armstead a whole lot of money. And then how about this one? Arden Key, who we're going out of order now. He only made about $1 million last year. Arden Key was a nice little find for the 49ers. But is that Chris Kocurek? Is he just going to find one of those guys off the street every year? So do you pay Arden Key, or do you just allow Chris Kocurek to find some other guy off the street, or draft some rookie in the fifth round that becomes like a stud pass rusher? Because clearly Chris Kocurek has some of the magic there, and I don't think the 49ers regret letting Kerry Hyder walk.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Last year was Hyder. This year was Key, so next year it might be another random person that you can bring. You know, I think the thing with Arden Key was he talked about, you know, playing in more of that nine technique, right? That really wide kind of rushing, which just being able to get upfield, and how that's what he just like, oh, man, this is much better suited for me. But it wasn't even that. His production started going up when they started moving him kind of inside and let him do some things from there. So I don't know, maybe Kocurek just knows what guys do well, or he'll figure it out at some point in the season and he can get the most out of anyone. I mean, even Jordan. What am I blaming?
Jordan Willis.
Jordan Willis. I want to call him Jordan Lewis. Yeah, Jordan Willis. I mean, even him, I mean, he kind of flashed with snaps as well. With more snaps, could he have done more? I mean, you know, so maybe it is Kocurek.
That's right. Well, actually, let's talk Jordan Willis, also a free agent next. There's a ton of free agents, a bunch of defensive backs as well, and I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on those guys, Croc. We'll finish up our preview of free agency for the 49ers, who stays, who walks, but let's talk about Bet Online. They got you covered for the big game. They've got you covered for more props, more odds, more lines than ever before as football season continues to the Super Bowl, and as the pro basketball season continues toward the second half. All-star game coming up there. Trade deadline coming up. The NBA season's about to get very interesting. College hoops, the tourney, NHL boxing, UFC, live real-time updates of current games. BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And, of course, a ton of Super Bowl props, which are always really, really fun. Don't wait to take advantage of all the new and amazing offers available for 2022. Bet Online, where the game starts. Okay, Croc. Kawan Williams made $2.3 million last year. I feel like this is a let him walk situation. He's starting to be more and more of a liability with teams figuring out that he can't carry a wide receiver deep. Those slot fades are really starting to hurt the 49ers. He's so good against the run, but he's banged up a lot too. He's on the wrong side of 30 years old. I think this is one place where you can save a couple bucks and let the young kid play, right? Diamador Lenore, that's who they're getting ready to be that next slot guy. Is he ready to slip into that starting role next year? And maybe you bring back Dante Johnson, who's also a free agent for $1 million of his salary last year. And I'm sure he's not going to command a ton of money again this year. Do you re-sign Dante Johnson as Demo's basically emergency plan at slot and let Kawan Williams walk rather than giving him $3 million plus per year and save a couple bucks?
Yeah, I think you got to let Kawan Williams walk. And I think he might have that same treatment. You know, we hear about how, like, the teammates talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and his toughness and his relentlessness and how he, you know, prepares and how, you know, all that good stuff. I bet if somebody was like, hey, what do you think about Kawan Williams? They probably say some of the same things. He's like this silent leader. They call him Shark because he kind of like sneaks around. Have you seen him do that? Like when he makes a play, he does that?
Yeah.
That's him. That's his little shark fan. But I think he is someone that all his players, his teammates love him, and they would love to have him back. But I do think from a financial standpoint, again, you got to start making decisions. The salary cap is real. All right, a lot of people think the salary cap is fake. It's real. You just have to figure who you can kind of move on from and what guys you need to prioritize. And I think he's a guy that they probably, you know, would say, all right, time is up on him. Let's go with some, get some youth there.
Although, so, like, the more I hear people talk about it and talking with Ross Jackson, the host of Locked On Saints, the Niners are $4 million over the cap before they trade Jimmy Garoppolo this offseason, so then they'll be under the cap. The New Orleans Saints were $75 million over the cap at the end of the offseason. And Ross is acting like it's no big deal. Not a problem.
They've been there for years. And again, you can work it out. So it's not fake, but people's money starts to get, you got to move money around. You got to adjust some contracts. You got to, okay, let's turn this into a signing bonus or whatever it is. There's ways to finesse it to where you can be in position to be good, but I don't think it's ideal.
It's finesse time for Parag Marate, going to earn his paycheck this offseason. We'll see how interesting and how creative the 49ers get with that salary cap in the coming year and years as some more guys hit free agency. But I'm with you. K-1, I think, is one where you let walk. Josh Norman, same story, right? Let walk. If you're going to bring in a veteran, a younger, better veteran, maybe, than Josh Norman, 34 years old, $1.5 million. They brought him off the street late in the process. Yeah. Do they just wait and see what training camp looks like before they bring someone like Norman back? Or do you let Norman walk? Do you let K-1 walk? And then let Verrett walk? Put all that together and then just spend $5 million on maybe a little bit more of a proven younger player that you feel more confident in?
You know, it just depends. Now, again, we've talked about Kyle Shanahan and how he's, you know, very impatient when it comes to young guys. I would say draft a couple guys and bring in a low-price free agent. So the low-price free agent, hey, you're going to come in, you're going to compete with Ambry Thomas. I'm going to draft a couple guys late. And now, not why other people, everybody thinks like, if you draft a guy late, you know, like to me, it's just about what you're prioritizing. So if I draft a guy later, I don't have to put him on the field, right? If you draft a guy second round, there's a little bit more pressure to get him out there. Like Aaron Banks, there's been a lot of conversation about him. Now he's a bust. We haven't even seen him play, but he's a bust. That's what everybody says, right?
Fifth rounder, nobody be talking about it, but he was a top 50.
You choose a fifth rounder,
what's going on?
Nobody talks about it. But if that fifth rounder plays, he just happens to be good, or sixth rounder, Elijah Mitchell, then okay, let's go. I think you draft a guy late, couple corners late, see what you got with him. See if they can push Ambry Thomas or whatever veteran free agent you have come in. But I wouldn't bring back Josh Norman.
Got a whole bunch of safeties reaching free agency. Well, listed as a safety, Marcel Harris, been playing linebacker for the 49ers. He's an unrestricted free agent this offseason. So is Tavon Wilson, who hasn't been on the team long, but a guy who's been on the team for a while, his entire career, Jaquaski Tartt, starting strong safety. Tartt is the big one here. Hasn't made a lot of money yet in his career. Has an opportunity now to get paid. I think Tartt gets paid from somebody else and not the 49ers.
You know, tough thing with Tartt, some of these guys, you know, they are getting a little bit older. I feel like there are a lot of 49er fans that really like Tartt. I think it's warranted. Like, dude's a really good football player. I get it. The turnovers aren't quite there, but I don't think that means that he's bad. Now, you know, he did drop the ball in the NFC Championship game. But Tartt's a really good football player. I think he's very versatile. I think he's really solid playing too high. I think when he comes down, there's not many better tackling safeties in the league around the line of scrimmage. I think he does a lot of really things good, and he's been with this team his entire career. We talk about Ward and how long he's been a 49er. Tartt, I mean, I think what he came like maybe the next year. So, yeah, that's a guy that, you know, he just, I don't know, he does something for this roster, for the secondary. He's definitely a guy you would like to bring back. Hopefully, well, I don't want to say hopefully for him, you know, yeah, get your money, however you got to get it. But, you know, hopefully the 49ers do have the money to bring a guy like him back, because I think he means a lot to the secondary.
All right, a few more defensive linemen actually to talk about at the bottom of the roster. But let me ask you the question this way, Croc. Of all the DBs, Verrett, Kaywan Williams, Josh Norman, Jaquaski Tartt, Tavon Wilson, Dante Johnson. You're John Lynch right now. You got to call one of those agents first. Which agent are you calling first?
Dante Johnson. No, I'm joking. Tartt. I am calling Tartt's agent first.
To see what you can do, right? He's a starting caliber player. It's like, look, here's our situation. You want to come back before you hit free agency?
I don't want a whole bunch of holes. And I know they got Hufanga sitting there, but it's like, I know if I have him, that like that's a good starting safety if I have Tartt. And I know I got Ward coming back. And then I know I got Mosley, and I know I got Ambry Thomas. So now, if I like, that's a starting unit. So if you just tell me I have to replace some reserve type caliber guys, I'd much rather do that as opposed to actually having to replace a guy that's a starter and a good safety as well.
Now that I think about it, I think there's each one, they're going to bring one or two of these guys back, of these defensive backs. But I think they're all on their own, less than 50% chance that they're going to be back. Like, maybe Jason Verrett, if he decides to play, you know, the 49ers would probably be the team for him.
Dante Johnson got to come back, right?
Dante Johnson might be the only one who's over 50% because he's got to be back. He's the mascot essentially at this point. He's Sourdough Sam for the 49ers. And he won't cost a lot, can play multiple positions. Probably the most likely of the entire group is Dante Johnson. You're right.
Yeah.
Breece Hurst, defensive tackle, injured a lot with the Raiders, injured a lot with the 49ers. I think he's actually a pretty good player, but at this point you can't spend any money on him. So if he wants to come back for the veteran minimum, you probably let him walk and test the market, probably find out he doesn't make a lot of money anywhere. So you bring him back before camp starts, but I think he could be a pretty good player if he gets the opportunity, if he's able to stay on the field. We talked about Arden Key. I think he's a priority, one of the first calls for the 49ers on the defensive side of the ball. You mentioned Jordan Willis. You can only keep one. I think you keep Key over Willis. He showed more in a short period of time as a pass rusher than Willis did. But if you can't bring back Key, then you have to bring back Willis. I think one of those two has to come back because you need that depth at the edge.
And I would go Willis because he brings that special teams aspect. I think that's big.
Hey, without Willis, the 49ers don't beat the Packers.
You can't say that. I don't think so. I don't think they do.
Can't really say that about most players on the team, actually. the Packers. That was a weird one in the snow. Last two names here.
Debo and Willis.
Yeah. Kevin Givens is an exclusive rights free agent. I've always liked him at the defensive tackle position, so he'll be brought back on the cheap. And the last one here, Kentavious Streets, played a little end earlier in his career, a little bit more defensive tackle recently. Kentavious Streets finally got to the point where he's helped out the 49ers. He was on the roster for so long and didn't really do much for the team. It would be a shame now that he's contributing to let him go. What do you think? Kentavious Streets?
They should be able to bring him back for the low.
A lot of these guys should cost a lot of money.
Someone else that's gone, maybe a Robert Saleh might know, hey, now this guy's a really good football player. We can maybe pay him $1 million more, and that would be just enough to get him over to New York.
That's true, and I would definitely take that if I was him. Make $1 million more at this point in your career where you might not be getting a lot of paychecks.
Now, the price to live out there.
Yeah, if they resign I put it this way. I just wanted to finish up the thoughts here on the defensive side of the ball because, cost of living is crazy, although New York cost of living is even more than San Francisco.
Jersey, but it's crazy. Morristown, New Jersey, or over there at Florham Park. It's pricey.
If you can re-sign DJ Jones and Arden Key and everybody else walks, I think you're in an okay spot. If you lose DJ Jones, I think you should be able to sign any of the rest of these guys and bring them all back. So I think the 49ers will be in good shape as it pertains to the defensive side of the ball. Starters are Jones and Tartt. A couple of key contributors there. They're going to get raises. Can they fit everybody in? No. But I think the 49ers are okay. And the more we talk about this, Croc, one of the big points is everyone's, they've got 40 free agents. It's going to be a disaster for the 49ers. No, the core is in place. If a lot of these guys walk, the Niners are going to be okay. They're going to be able to bring some guys back, and most of the players that are free agents, even the priority ones, aren't going to make crazy money. And if someone wants to give DJ Jones $10 million a year, you know, have fun, and we'll figure out and develop a new nose tackle, right, or Kinlaw can play. And if Lakin Tomlinson walks and someone gives him $12 million a year. Good. Go chase that money. We'll find a new guard, Jalen Moore, whatever. Maybe Aaron Banks can play there and we'll draft and develop some more guys. So they can be smart and prudent at the same time this offseason. I'm not worried about it. And I think a lot of these names will be back, and the ones that walk, I don't think are going to hurt the team all that much. But a couple of guys that stand out, Jones, I think, and Lakin Tomlinson. I think those are going to be the first calls from John Lynch.
Yep.
All right, Croc. Good stuff here. We've got tons more to talk about with position groups, what the 49ers should do with outside free agents. Of course, NFL draft talk will probably come daily here after the Super Bowl, because it will be draft season for all 32 teams, including the San Francisco 49ers. And for your second listen, after you make Locked On 49ers your first listen, and we do appreciate it, check out Croc doing Locked On NFL Draft here on the network daily. I'm doing the Peacock and Williamson NFL show daily, all for free, all in your favorite podcast apps. And Croc and I will be back tomorrow, Super Bowl prediction time, right here, Locked On 49ers.